Blog Talk Radio.
We are not alone. And welcome to another episode of Contact Radio, featuring Leslie Mitchell Clark and co-host Wes Roberts, where we explore ufology and beyond with the help of the world's foremost experts. And without further ado, here's your host and your guide, Leslie Mitchell Clark.
Very good evening to everyone out there in Listerland. This is Leslie Mitchell Clark, and I would love to welcome you to another episode of Contact. And I believe my ever-present co-host is also on the line here from a remote location. Let me just check. Is that you, Wes?
Leslie, it is me. How are you doing tonight?
Okay. All right. It's amazing that we can communicate this far a distance by the miracle of electronics.
It is a great distance.
Indeed. Anyway, I hope you had an interesting Halloween, or actually Celtic New Year, the great fall festival of Samhain. And did you have any trick or treaters, or were things just scary enough at home?
We had all sorts of kids in the neighborhood, and lots of interesting costumes. I think we saw one kid dressed up as a squid. That was entertaining.
And ambitious.
oh, huge. Lots of lights and everything else. Nice tentacles, I must say.
Oh, my goodness. I saw a little parade. I was actually in Hamilton with my husband, Terry Clark, at a gig as part of the Steel City Jazz Festival. Had a great time in the Hammer last night. But I did, before I leave, get to see a little parade of little itty-bitties in their little itty-bitty costumes. And, boy, was it cute. It was cute. Seems like just a moment ago that my boys were in that little itty-bitty parade.
Oh, you must have fond memories, eh?
I do, but not fond enough to put up all the decorations by myself again this year. Like last year,
okay,
my enthusiasm tanked because I couldn't engender any assistance to, and we really go all out for Halloween here. We do in Toronto in general, but I think I have an 8-foot banshee, and I have a lot of stuff, you know, so I put it all out by myself last year, and I think I got some, you know, ambivalent assistance with the candy giving by Kyle and his girlfriend Anthe, and then nobody would help clean it up. So 2 days later, there I am again, taking down the 8-foot banshee on my own, a solo.
Okay, so we're not mentioning any names except they are male.
They are male, and they do live in the house, and they have a really interesting take on tasking. Anyway, but enough. But enough about me. Let's talk some more about me. No, I'm just joking. These are the jokes. Oh, I'm very whimsical this evening. I don't know. I saw a funny comedy movie with Georgina. I saw a picture called The Intern, a very cute little movie where Robert De Niro plays a 70-year-old intern in a company. So it's very cute.
Oh, very
and
nice. Yes.
So tonight, I know, Wes, we're very excited because we always love to welcome a new guest, somebody who hasn't chatted with us before on the Contact Radio program. So this evening, we are very pleased to welcome Canadian, I believe, experiencer contactee, and he's also the leader of the instrumental rock band Pyramids on Mars, and I am talking about Kevin Estrella, or Estrella. I'm going to have to ask him which he prefers. That means a star in Spanish, by the way, Estrella.
Okay.
And tonight, yeah, it does. Isn't that interesting? Now, tonight we are all the way live, and folks, we have, over the past couple months, we've had quite a few shows that were pre-taped because we had some guests in the UK and Europe and Australia, and there was just no other way to do it. But tonight, we are all the way live. I'm pretty close to 98% live, so I would have to say.
and I'm unlive, whatever that means, but I'm here.
Okay. You're still in your corporeal body though, so that's a good thing.
Yes,
that's a good thing.
100%.
Yeah. So we're live, folks. So what that means is that we would be thrilled if you would call in. And around 9:30, around the halfway mark of the show, we usually open up the lines for call-ins for your questions and comments. Now, if you're calling from, if you are calling from within Canada and Europe and elsewhere, please use this computer line, which is 424-220-1861. That's 424-220-1861. Now, if you're calling from the United States, we do have a toll-free number for you, which is 888-891-3884. That's 888-891-3884. And, Wes, have you got the contact chat room cranked up there?
Yeah, the chat room's cranked, and we have several guests in the chat room, so I'm going to think that Kevin was busy doing some networking or something.
All right. Well, we certainly appreciate that. And I can see on my little virtual switchboard here that we have a call coming in from the 905. I'm going to assume that that is Kevin. Let me just pick up the line here. Hey, Kevin, is that you?
It's definitely me.
All right. Well, that is great to hear your voice here on the show. Finally, we've been talking about this for literally months, so I'm so pleased that you were able to join us this evening. Really pleased. Did you have a good Halloween last night, Celtic New Year?
Well, we had a record-breaking number of kids last night. It was just, we ran out of candy.
Oh,
it was
man.
So great. It was really good.
I hate when that happens. I hate, but I'm glad the kids are still, you know, I would hate to see this really, and it's really primarily North American, the way that we do it. Yes, it's a British Isles transplant, but, you know, nobody does Halloween like we do. I don't, yeah, and I'm glad that we're still doing it, too. Glad we're still doing it. Kevin, now tell me a little bit about, if you wouldn't mind, I just sort of in the introduction, of it, perhaps you heard, I talked a little bit about your sighting and your missing time, and would you like to jump right into that, or give us a little bit of history about yourself and why you're interested in UFOs and ufology?
Well, I think the best way place to start would be to talk about pyramids on Mars, because that is what brought interest from these interstellar beings in the first place. So that's a good place to start. I am Pyramids on Mars, instrumental rock from the mystical red planet is what I call myself. I'm the Joe Satriani of the North. Joe Satriani is the instrumental guitar rock guitar player, and my style is very similar to his. And I released my first album in 2013, and then I just followed it up with a second CD called Echo Cosmic, which is released in September of this year, and it's been getting absolutely rave reviews across magazines. People are just going crazy about it, calling it the best instrumental since Satriani's Surfing with the Alien. So to kind of understand exactly what Pyramids on Mars is, when I created Pyramids on Mars, I wanted to marry both my love of instrumental rock with my passion and studies of UFOs and the alien phenomenon, and wanted to put the two together and use my music as a tool to help also educate people in regards to the realities of our situation and how, you know, that this is the most important information in the history of humanity, and we're coming to a critical point. And I wanted to use, the image of pyramids on Mars, because they actually do exist, and I wanted to, use that to educate people and get people to start to think on their own. Little did I know that other beings had the same intentions or say blessings, and that I was part of a larger plan. Which I found out last year.
Interesting.
It's just the things that have been going on and what have happened has just been mind-blowing and incredible. My life is starting to feel like a movie now. It's crazy. So with Pyramids on Mars, there's a lot of pieces to it that's coming together, and it's like as Grant Cameron has put it, it's like a trail of breadcrumbs that gets laid out, and you're slowly putting the pieces together, and you end up feeling like a chess piece that's being moved around on a board. And things that you know that seem like coincidence in life are not coincidence. They're actually there's planned things that are going on. And if you read into it and look deeper, you start to the synchronicities in life are there for a purpose. And you know when you waken up to them, that's when you really start to accelerate in your own personal evolution of what your spirit is doing. And Wes and I have talked about this, and it just I'll explain more about that as things go on. So getting to my story, I've myself throughout my life, I spent 20 years studying the UFO phenomenon. First really got interested in it with back in the 1990s when I was in university and started hearing about Bob Lazar and the stuff he was talking about reverse engineering. And
yes.
Then during that time as well, Bud Hopkins was writing a lot of his books on alien abductions. So I spent a lot of time reading about these alien abductions because I was just fascinated by it. And then later on, got more interested in crop circles and what was going on with crop circles and other sightings, and just doing a lot of research on UFOs and general on the internet. And then I studied more things with regards to the bases on the moon and the anomalies on Mars and a lot of stuff that Richard Hoagland was talking about in his studies. So I spent years and years learning about all this stuff and putting the pieces together. And I personally had met at least six people in my lifetime who were first-hand experiencers. And I always was jealous with Gene, saying, geez, I wish I could have my own experience. And then it actually happened.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. And
well, that was probably right in the plan there as well. In fact, I know that if I could just interject so briefly, I mean, I know that you have explored your experience somewhat with a colleague of mine, but I have a very strong feeling that there is more there to be explored, and that's all I'm saying. So anyway, carry on.
So what happened was it was August 21st, 2014. I step out onto my deck. I live in Hamilton, Ontario, and my deck faces towards the south. And within seconds of me stepping onto my deck, there appeared from behind the tree on my right side, my neighbors on my right, behind this tree, this object started to come into view. It was only I would say probably 1,500 feet away, or maybe less than a kilometer. It was very close. It was only between 1,000 and 1,500 feet up in the air. So this thing was very close. But when I first started coming into my view, I thought it was a meteor because it had a tip point and it looked like it was on fire. It was orange and red and had this, looked like flames that were kind of coming off the top of it and streaming out the back. Kind of like mist, but then I realized, no, that's not a meteor. That's way too slow for a meteor. That's moving about the speed of a helicopter, or a small plane, or a commercial plane. And when the object finally came into full view, when it came from behind the tree, that's when I really looked at it, and it was disc shaped, and like looking at it from the side view. And I was just like, I didn't know what I was looking at. I was just going, what the hell is that? And it was orange and red, and as I said, it had all this stuff that was streaming off it. Like, it looked like it was almost on fire. And I didn't know what it was I was looking at. The other thing that was really strange about it, and here's the thing. Like, my sighting only lasted about 2 minutes. because it traveled across the distance of my backyard, exactly the distance of my backyard, as it made its way south towards Benbrook. Mm-hmm. So, and the certain qualities of what I was looking at were so unearthly that it took me 2 weeks to put together the pieces, replaying it in my mind of what it was I was looking at. And the thing that really finally caught my attention, that I said, there's something really strange that was kind of about that object, but I couldn't put my finger on it. And I realized, oh my God, that thing was two-dimensional.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And when people ask me, well, what do you mean by that? Well, the best way to describe it is it looked like a solar eclipse. Solar eclipse just looks like a hole in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what this thing looked like. It looked like a hole in the sky. But it was orange
and
red
was a
color.
Do you think it was a projection of some sort, Kevin? Or did you sort of have a feeling of presence or intelligence?
It was of intelligent design, I know that. And
mm-hmm.
it was purposely moving across my vision. It wanted me to see it. Like
yes.
it was very close. Like it wasn't like it was like a few miles away. It was really close. Like just traveling across the my backyard, I didn't take my eyes off it. It was like mm-hmm. I just completely was always staring at it. But I don't think it was a projection because it changed its appearance as it started to move away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was that as its tail got more towards me because it was moving away from me, it started to appear, the object itself started to appear darker in appearance to the point where it was not projecting any light at all. It was completely black.
Mm-hmm.
But then it had this, like, white vortex surrounding it, kind of like mist that was spinning around it, like an umbrella,
yeah.
an umbrella. And so after I had my sighting, I reported it to MUFON, and I met them with them this year when I met you guys at the Alien
yes.
Cosmic Exhibition. What MUFON confirmed was that the way I described it, they said that's exactly how an object appears when it's covered in plasma. And that was what was giving it that fiery look. It was covered in plasma. And he said, what you saw was an actual physical craft. There's no doubt about that because of how you described the way it looked. Because you can see plasma from some angles, but from other angles you can't see it. Therefore, what you saw was definitely a physical craft. And that was the reason why when I went to the Alien Cosmic Exhibition and I ran into them, they said, oh, my God, I'm so glad you're here. We're doing a presentation on you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what?
Wes, what do you have you ever had an experience like that yourself where you've seen a craft seem to be two-dimensional? I imagine it's probably part of some type of the propulsion, or even if something is going into another dimension, certainly we'd perceive it, you know, any number of odd ways. But has anything like that ever happened to you?
Well, you know, only in a dreamlike state, quite frankly. I'm not one of those people that have seen a lot of craft once or twice, but once or twice in a altered state. I did have an experience where there were two-dimensional beings, for lack of a better word, and it's like, this can't be possible. They look like cutouts of cartoon characters or something.
Oh, wow.
It was very, 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 very odd, but that was the only time. And at that point in my life, I would have known nothing about plasma-covered or plasma-powered vehicles. So what Kevin saw is quite phenomenal.
It is indeed. It is indeed. Now, Kevin, I would love to, I just want to make sure that we play some of your wonderful music before we get too carried away here. I'd like to play at least one of your songs, one of your compositions now, if I may. And the two that I was able to, that you so kindly sent me, which I have at my fingertips here, are a song called Battle for Rome and a song called Dream Division. And which one would you like me to play now, and would you like to give us a little bit of background on the composition?
Well, we can play Battle for Rome, and then if we only have time for one song, and we should play Dream Division.
Oh, we can play both songs.
One...
We can play
okay.
both songs. We'll play the other one in the second half of the program. We can play both songs.
Yeah, because there's a story to Dream Division that ties in with what I found out when I talked about Grant. So,
okay.
Because that song is very special because I didn't write that song. That was a download.
Okay, well, we definitely need to talk about that. We want to hear about your creative process and what's going on with that. But so Battle for Rome, are there any other instrumentalists in your group, or is it just yourself, Kevin?
My brother plays bass live, and I play guitar. With Battle for Rome, actually, with all my music, I write and play all the instruments.
Right. That's what I thought you had said. Okay. Well, without further ado, then, I would like to play for you folks now the song Battle for Rome, an original composition by Kevin Estrella, and this is being performed by his ensemble or himself, Pyramids on Mars. And here we go with Battle for Rome. And that was the incredible composition Battle for Rome from Kevin Estrella, who is our guest. He is also the founder and principal musician of Pyramids on Mars, and we're talking about some of his very fascinating extraterrestrial experiences and sightings. So, Kevin, tell me a little bit about that tune. What was the inspiration for that composition?
That was actually inspired by the Xbox video game Rise, Son of Rome. So I saw the trailer for that video game, and I was so inspired by it that I wanted to write a song that I could hear in that video game. And so I did, and it turned out, you know, it sounds like a video game song.
It sure does. It's very dramatic, certainly, and you're a fine guitarist. And, Kevin, we're just going to take a moment now for a little station ID and to thank our sponsors. We'll be right back. Folks, we are joined tonight by Kevin Estrella, who is the instrumental rock band Pyramids on Mars and an experiencer and contactee. And we'll be right back with more from Kevin, but just for this moment, let's thank our generous sponsors.
Contact Radio would like to thank its generous sponsors, James Borg and Euphoria and the Euphoria Chronicles, Variety Store Productions and Mr. Greg Summer, that's VarietyStoreProductions.com. The 2015 Canadian Hypnosis Convention, and the 2016 Alien Cosmic Expo, and also EarthMysteryNews.com. Thank you for your incredible support. We could not do this without you.
All right. We'd also like to thank Mr. Patrick White and his lovely wife, Kadena, at Conspiracy Culture, and how they fell off the roster there, I don't know, but they're on it. They've never been off it. ConspiracyCulture.com, much more than a bookstore, a real center for new thought, and they have a fantastic event coming up on December 13th at the Bloor Street Cinema, and between noon and 2 p.m., the incredible maverick archaeologist, Mr. Graham Hancock, is going to be appearing and discussing his latest book, Magicians of the Gods, and I am going to be there for sure. So get your tickets now. Just log on to conspiracyculture.com, and that's to see the noted ancient archaeologist, Mr. Graham Hancock, taking place at Bloor Street Cinema between noon and 2 p.m. There we go. Okay, Kevin, we are back. So tell us a little bit more about your experience and perhaps Grant Cameron and whatever else you'd like to share with us.
Yeah, seeing a flying disc is not uncommon, and you know, a lot of people see UFOs, but it's what I found out about it this year that was shocking and life changing. So after reporting to MUFON last year, they took the entire report, and I never heard back from them. So, you know, I'm sitting around, you know, so I saw this craft last year and didn't know anything more about it. And I was always curious to find out, okay, how many other people in Hamilton must have saw it, because it was huge. It was like 40 or 50 feet wide, and it was moving really slow, and there must have seen a lot of people who saw it. So then my wife said, yeah, there's a alien cosmic exhibition going on in Brantford. And so I decided to go online and, you know, check it out. And when I saw what Grant was, talking about and presenting, I was like, my jaw hit the floor. I was just completely shocked. It was on, you know, his whole seminar was on musicians, aliens, consciousness, and the connection.
Oh yes,
and how,
and how
aliens are using musicians to, you know, to raise awareness of their existence. And I just went, oh my God, this is all about me. He's got the answers. I'm supposed to go and see him. It was like that was the calling card. That was the wake up call. That was these beings finally saying, okay, Kevin, it's time for you to remember. It's time for you to know what your mission is. And I was like, I felt like, you know, a disciple going to Jesus. Like, I was just like, oh my God, like, I'm supposed to go to this. There, you know, there's no coincidence. And so when I get to the, you know, to the ACE, I meet up with Grant just before he went on, and I just walked up to him and I handed him my CD, Pyramids of Mars, and he looks at it, he looks up at me and says, "We got to talk," and I'm like, "Yeah, we definitely do." And
yeah.
So then I saw his presentation, and you know, he was talking about how many other musicians have you know, are experiencers, and how you know, music, how many musicians are getting downloads where music seems to be coming from a different state of consciousness. And not knowing exactly where this consciousness flow has come from, it almost seems like the music is being written by somebody else. And I was able to relate to that, you know, what he was talking about, because he was talking about how many other, so many people get these downloads, and the music, you know, messages are being sent through the music, and people are not consciously aware of it, of what's happening. And this was confirmed to, you know, Grant Cameron by Chris Bledsoe, I'm now friends with him, and his story is being turned into a major motion picture. And he was told by the beings, because he's been abducted several times since 2007, he told Grant, you have to listen to the music, the messages in the music. And he said particular two songs, Kashmir by Led Zeppelin and After the Gold Rush, Neil Young. But basically, those were like those songs, the lyrics that came to the songs were downloads that were, you know, given from aliens, and basically, and, you know, Robert Plant and you know, wrote, you know, spontaneously wrote these songs, but the message is there. And so I can kind of relate to, you know, a download of where music is coming from another consciousness or from somewhere else, because the song Dream Division, I didn't write that song. That was that was a download. That was I heard that song in my dream. It's pretty incredible, actually. So I'm having this dream where Joe Satriani is sitting at a you know, recording console being interviewed by somebody, and he's being asked, okay, what are you working on right now? He says, like, so I got this new, you know, CD I'm working on, and we got some new songs. And he says, well, can you play something for me? Yeah, actually, I got a bed track here. And so then he starts playing the song, and it was Dream Division. You know, and you know, I'm listening to it, and I thought, geez, this sounds really interesting. Like, okay, it starts out with a basic guitar, but then the bass comes in, it's doing something different, and the drums come in, it's doing something completely different from everything else, but it all works together like a clock. And I thought, wow, this sounds really cool. I wish I could write something like this. And I realized, wait a second, he never wrote this song.
Yeah.
This is a dream. And so I wake myself up. I go downstairs and I start writing out all the tracks and stuff. And so what you hear in Dream Division is exactly what I heard in my dream. I didn't write that song. It was as simple as you walking up to your car stereo, turning on a song, hearing a song for the first time, and somebody turning to you and say, this song doesn't exist. Here you go. It's yours.
Yeah. Do you think, Kevin, that this same type of inspirational process, this download process, is happening to many musicians and maybe even artists of other disciplines in all kinds of different musics, jazz, classical, as long as it involves new music and composition? Do you think that this is a global phenomena that is happening to artists throughout the world, no matter what their genre?
I think it happens to artists all the time. You know, but it doesn't necessarily, you know, not just musicians, but, you know, art in general. I think it's almost like, you know, how many writers have said, yeah, you know, I don't even remember writing this, when they go back and, you know, read what they wrote. It's a stream of consciousness that just comes flowing out, and that's what Grant talks about so much, about, you know, the real, the natural brain, which is the right creative brain, which is connected to God and the universe, where all this creative flow comes. And when you get the left, you know, analytical brain out of the way, the right brain is able to function the way it should be, which is, you know, it's a stream of consciousness coming from the universe, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I think when people tap into it, they're tapping into a higher. Into the oneness, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. sort of the source. Well, you know, the word inspiration means, you know, from spirit, and that could be, you know, and I think that many of the beings that interact with us are very highly evolved and may even only have light bodies, not necessarily physical bodies, and you know, they could be interpreted as spiritual beings and spiritual influences. Wes, what do you think about that?
Oh, I totally agree with everything you just said, and I totally resonate with some of the things Kevin is saying. A lot of the beings, certainly you deal with, Leslie, and some of the ones we've experienced are more ultra-terrestrial than extra-terrestrial,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
some we don't even know where they're from. And
yeah.
It's interesting, too, to listen to Kevin, and I'm sure, Leslie, you'd have something to say about this as well, that the process of remembering is an ongoing one, and some people, especially mystics, would say that is all we do, really, that there is nothing ever new, so to speak, that
yeah.
everything that happens in our lives is something remembered.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's that. Certainly, you know, we now understand that time is not linear, as Einstein said, you know, so long ago. We're dealing with a lot of different realities occurring at the same time. We're dealing with quantum entanglement. I think that the recalling is also the experiencing in a way simultaneously. But anyway, Kevin, I would love to also mention, you're talking about inspirational downloads. You know, the author J.K. Rowling, who of course wrote the great Harry Potter series, is.
That's right.
She said she dreamed the whole thing on a train.
Yeah, on a
coming
train.
Coming down from Scotland to London and dreamed the
yeah.
whole thing. So, I mean, that's a woman who had never written a novel before. I mean, that's quite astonishing, really. And there has
yeah.
to be something else involved.
Yeah, exactly. Like it was, you know, she tapped into the universe and the whole thing came to her. Like, how do you explain that?
Yeah,
I mean,
there really is no.
You know how incredible the story is, too. I mean, it's. You know, the whole Harry Potter thing is an amazing work of imagination.
Yeah. Intricate with you know, creating
Intricate.
An entire different kind of world. You know, it was really,
world.
Really
yeah.
something else. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Well, without further ado, then let's go ahead and play your composition, Dream Division. And again, folks, we are listening to Kevin Estrella, who is the wonderful. Musical experience Pyramids on Mars, and he is playing all the instruments on this track, which I believe this is a studio recording, correct, Kevin? This is all you on this
oh, yeah.
track, eh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Here we go. And maybe afterwards, I hope a few folks will call in. I'm sure Kevin would like to answer some questions. If you're calling from Canada, 424-220-1861, and here is Dream Division. Okay, that was Dream Division by Kevin Estrella, also known creatively as Pyramids on Mars. Well, Kevin, this is that was quite a dynamic piece, and I can see how you received the information and then, you know, transformed it into an arrangement where you played, you know, all the instruments. Really well done.
Thank you. Yeah, I love that song.
yeah. So what's next on your agenda? Now, I assume that there is going to be there is at least one CD out, and I believe you mentioned that you have another CD forthcoming before too long.
Yeah. Actually, that CD right there, those two songs are on Echo Cosmic, which has just been released. It's available on my website at www.pyramidsonmars.com. That's www.pyramidsonmars.com. You can buy Echo Cosmic there. You can also buy my first CD. Both are available on the website. Also check out the website. It's a really great place. It's a lot of cool stuff. Go to the store. There's all kinds of cool things in the store, like posters and T-shirts and coffee mugs and, you know, CDs. If you go to press, you'll be able to read or listen to all my magazine reviews and radio shows that I've been on. I've been on a lot of talk shows talking about my experiences. I'm supposed to be on Art Bell's show in about 2 months' time.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Good for Art Bell. I love him, actually. Now, tell us a little bit about, Kevin, about the process of the download. Now, does this always happen? When it happens, does it happen in a dream state commonly? Or is it something that can happen where you simply are receptive or maybe in a light meditative state and the music comes in? Or do you sort of request some inspiration from the beings?
Well, let's see. A lot of my music that I write, I honestly don't feel like I'm even writing it. I mean, when I get into the process, I'll have a bed track of a song idea, which I start off with, but then it's like the song kind of has a life to its own. The best way to basically illustrate it with the writing process is I feel like an artist who has been given a blank canvas, and you have a black and white, a drawing, black drawing with no color, and then I kind of feel like I'm on autopilot with you know, it's kind of like color by numbers. It's like, oh, this is obviously green, this is obviously blue, this is obviously this. And I'm just like automatic, and before I know it, oh, the song's done. So, like, it's so autopilot when I'm writing the song. It feels like it's already there, and I'm just putting it together. It's a very strange and interesting process. Sometimes I'll get stuck on an idea where, like, I'm that's a part that, you know, needs work, or there's a part that's missing, and usually that's, you know, the last thing I do in the song is create the melodies and guitar solos. So then I will. Then it's a matter of being consciously aware of the best state of mind you are for creativity. And I usually find having a shower, the ideas will just come to me.
The
and that's kind
sound.
Of how I.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like, you know, I'll be having a shower and I will just, you know, be enjoying that, and all of a sudden the music will come to me. And the finished song will be there. So, for example, Dream Division, that the chorus of the guitar, da 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 da, that came to me in the shower. So.
Wow. Well, that's a lot of people talk about being receptive in the shower. I think it's for probably a few different reasons. You know, water's a great conductor, for one thing. If there's anything that could be described as, you know, electronic going on, as far as, you know. How the things are being transmitted, and then also you know, water creates an alpha sound, which stimulates the alpha waves of the brain, which is exactly what happens in trance, in hypnotic trance. So you definitely can go into an altered state, you know, in the shower. it's true. Absolutely. Well, do you think, Kevin, that you had you know, do you think intellectually or emotionally, or do you think that you had experiences, you know, prior to this very dramatic, very involved sighting, because, you know, it's rather unusual for an individual to experience something that you experienced and have it not be part of a bigger picture.
Here's what I found out, and this is what I realized, that everything came together, and there was a reason for me to meet you guys at the ACE, at the ACE, and for me to meet Grant, because once I went to go to MUFON and talk to them about what their conclusions were about my sighting, that is where I was in shock. Because they told me, you know, that my sighting was authentic, and they were doing a presentation on me. And then I asked them, okay, well, how many other people saw it? How many people reported it? They said, well, that's the thing, Kevin. You're the only one who saw it. And I'm just like, this is impossible. There's no way that I was the only person who saw this craft. And I was freaking out at that point. I was just, like, shocked. I didn't know what to think. I was just like, this is crazy. There's no way. I mean, this thing was 40 or 50 feet. It was covered in plasma. It looked like it was on fire. It was moving across the sky on the mountain of Hamilton, a city of 500,000 people, and it was only 1,000 feet above the ground. And you're telling me that I'm the only one who saw it? I said, does that make any sense to you? I said, I'm sorry, Kev. You know, I'm sorry. That's just this is the way it is. And what I actually found out was that on the Monday after that weekend, I was on Rob McConnell's show. The X Zone. He was actually filming the ACE, and he said that before I was on his show, he did the research and went to all the websites that they look for anomalies
reporting,
in the Hamilton
yes.
area, reporting.
Yeah.
And he said he confirmed that there were absolutely no anomalies the night of my sighting. They went through everything, so therefore I was the only one who saw it. That was a fact. It was even to the point where I got an email from his producer the next day saying, Kevin, because of the fact that you're the only person who saw this craft, we're not following your story anymore. Please don't contact us. They didn't believe me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, you know, at first I was kind of angry because it's like, you're dissing me? Like, okay, so all of a sudden I realized, wait, no one, this is good news. This is very good because they did the research. They went out and found out that they proved it. That was the only one who saw it. Therefore, thank you. You helped me out. Your report is the most important thing to this piece of puzzle that, I'm the only one who saw it. And so then, here's where all the pieces come together because it's not coincidence. And here's Grant. He's there, and he understands what's going on. He was there to explain it to me, and he was completely calm about it. He says, come have lunch with me. I'm going to tell you what's going on. And so I sit down with him. I tell him, how can I be the only one who saw this thing? He said, well, Kevin, it happens all the time.
Like, it does.
Yeah, I was like, what? He said, same thing happened to John Lennon. You know, he had a UFO sighting in New York City, and he was the only one who saw it. He says, your sighting is the same way. He says, Kevin, they're in contact directly with you. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, oh, my God, are you serious? He says, yeah. And so that's where the life-altering, when I realized the larger picture of what's going on, that I'm part of a larger something larger than myself, and I'm part of their plan now. And I was just it's crazy. And since then, all these synchronicities have been happening where I'm learning more and more. And here's the other thing that I found out about, and I didn't put this together until Heather Wade, Art Bell's producer, was talking to me, and she asked me a bunch of questions, and it was like all of a sudden the light went on, another kind of download. She was asking me about ESP. And I was like, well, actually, yeah. Like, he says, do you have any episodes of ESP? I'm like, yeah, well, actually, I do. And I really became aware. She said, well, when did you become aware of it the most? I said, well, actually, well, it's kind of funny. I really became consciously aware of it when I was writing my first album for Pyramids on Mars. And there was all these coincidences, like, where it was like all these ESP moments of, you know, I'd be thinking about somebody and all of a sudden they phone me, or I call somebody and they said, oh, my God, we were just talking about you. Or I'd be thinking about somebody who in California who I haven't talked to in months, and then all of a sudden they call me. So it was like all this weird stuff that was going on. But then my largest ESP moment happened when Robin Williams died. And he died Monday, August 11th, 2014. I saw him in my mind. I saw him dying on the Sunday, and it was such a disturbing thing that happened to me. Like I was washing dishes. It was like 11:30 in the morning, and all of a sudden, this emotion came over me of great sadness, and I saw him in my mind. I saw his face. It just kind of hit me like a wave, and it was the ending of the movie Bicentennial Man, where he plays this android who lives for 250 years. Yeah, and then he decides he wants to die because he's tired about living everybody he loves. And so the last part of the movie, he's lying in bed holding a hand of his wife, and he's dying, and he's just got that sad smile on his face, and the camera's just slowly panning away. And I saw that in my mind. I was overcome with this grief of like, oh, my God, I really got to watch this movie now. I'm so sad. And then I find out Monday night, my wife says, oh, by the way, did you hear Robin Williams died this morning? I'm like, oh, my God, that's really sad. Oh, my God, I saw him dying. Mm-hmm. There's no coincidence. It was like Obi-Wan Kenobi in the movie Star Wars, where you know, great disturbance of the Force. The same thing happened to me. Now here's a funny thing. That was August 11th. When was my sighting? Exactly 10 days afterwards.
Wow. Well. So. That's no coincidence. There are no coincidences. There are no coincidences. And again, you know, the nature of time is free floating. I think that we travel. I think we can travel at will if we're good at it. And you know, it's not unusual. Well, I guess it is a little unusual, Kevin. But there are times when I've been working in past life regression with clients where they have progressed into a future life. That is, you know, when you're in the zone, there is no linear time, and probably I could also agree tremendously with Grant Cameron that it is not an unusual thing for you to be the only one to see a craft or have a sighting. I myself, about a year ago, saw a massive craft crossing the 401 on the way from Markham into town, and no one else was I just about pulled the car over, but no one else was reacting, no reactions whatsoever from anyone. And so I just thought, oh my God, was I hallucinating? Was it a DMT experience? Was it an acid flashback? You know, I didn't really know what had happened there. And a couple of days later, I had drawn a picture for Wes. I remember doing that because he has a little picture of it. But I was looking at some of the reports, you know, that I receive, like, you know, Art Bell does about the stuff going on around the world. And there, as big as life, was a picture, a photograph of the craft that I saw, only it was in Italy. And it was massive. But it was identical to what I saw. So I just thought, well, I guess they just... Or, you know, it's possible, Kevin, that you know, we may come in genetically with something special, people who are able to perceive things. We might have a greater ability to perceive light in a greater arc, you know, if you will. This may also be a bit physiological.
Yeah. It's amazing. I've been on the radio many, many times, and I can't tell you how many people that I've spoken to, not just UFO radio stations, but also rock stations. And I've talked to people, and I've told them about my experiences, and all of a sudden, they come out and say, Kevin, the same thing happened to me. And one guy talked to me, he has his own show, but he said he saw one that was the size of a football field, and he was the only one who saw it. And everybody else around him didn't see it, and he was right there. He's like, how can nobody else see this thing?
I know. Well, it does happen. Well, believe it or not, I can hardly believe it. This hour has just flown by. Kevin, I cannot thank you enough for coming on and discussing your experiences, your fascinating experiences. Folks, who've been listening to Kevin Estrella, who is Pyramids on Mars, very fascinating music. Kevin, once again, let's have the website where folks can reach you.
Yes, it's at www.pyramidsonmars.com. And you can also find me on Facebook at Pyramids on Mars. Follow me on Twitter at Pyramids on Mars _. But everything, go to pyramidsonmars.com and you can find everything from there. I think we'll probably have to do a part two because
I think we will.
There's so much more to talk about.
We will do a part two. That's a promise. Okay. Thank you, Kevin Estrella. Thank you very much for joining us this evening on Contact. We'll see you folks next Sunday evening with Serge Grambois, Trans Channeler, and to Be There or Be Square. Good night from Contact. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Contact Radio with Leslie Mitchell Clark and co-host Wes Roberts. Please join us every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Time as we explore ufology and beyond. And remember, we are not alone. Good night, everyone.